Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
SNL returns, Matt Damon loves beer, and Kanye loves Trump. Me Too Hollywood, new Les Moonves, Kevin Spacey developments, and Cosby jailed. Oh boy. Murphy Brown returns, but has Hollywood's reboot bubble burst? All this and more on Meet the Hollywood Press for September 30th, 2018. I'm Anita Bennett, in for Alina Vision, and now your host of Meet the Hollywood Press, Joseph Capsch.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Welcome to a new episode. I don't like beer. I like Red Bull. I drink Red Bull. Lots of people drink Red Bull. Some drink more than others on some nights. Welcome to a new episode and a crazy, crazy week in Hollywood and politics. So without further ado, I'm going to announce my guest. And by the way, this is our first week. We're streaming live on Facebook.
Yay!
We normally stream live on YouTube. First of all, Anita, thank you for stepping in.
Oh, no worries.
Anita's
glad
a popular a contributor here. I get a lot of comments when she's paneled a couple times. We used to work together at The Wrap. Mm-hmm. She's a rock star. She's the founder of Urban Hollywood 411, I should say.
Yes, sir. UrbanHollywood411.com.
.com. She's cooking over there on the scoops, and we're going to get to one of the stories just briefly about the box office this weekend.
Okay.
Okay, and without further ado, I would like to welcome Bianca De La Garza
to
Joseph. The panel.
Thank you.
Good.
It's great to be here. Sunday fun day.
We're continuing to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month.
Gracias por todo.
Bianca used to be an Emmy. You're an Emmy nominated. We have an Emmy nominated TV host on my panel,
yeah.
So I'm very humbled.
Oh, well, thank you.
Tell
yes.
viewers a little bit about what you're up to right now.
So currently, right now, I'm bi-coastal. I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Obviously, here today, super excited. I'm running a production company, and I'm also launching a disruptive beauty line because after 20 years being on television and facing mass media's definition of beauty, which is very narrow, and selected by those people in an ivory tower, we're
yes.
saying, you know what, women, men, let's celebrate beauty. Who gets to define it, and how do we celebrate
it? Are you going to have a men's line?
Possibly.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Not that you need anything.
I'm sweating up a storm
right now. Look at that. Two hot guys here. Lucky me.
God.
Presence of greatness. Yeah. The presence of greatness over here.
That was a great segue, actually. So my other guest is Jedediah Ballard.
What's up, y'all?
He is a contributor to The Doctors, which is a syndicated program with Travis Stork.
Right.
And you advise over there. You've been on Men's Health cover
yeah.
as we cast our wider net. And you're also, you were a U.S. Army, correct? Did I?
Correct, yeah. U.S.
Yes.
Army Ranger, so special operations
wow.
background
yes.
and then
Ooh.
Some fitness covers and whatnot. And,
but,
yeah,
and
still
so, of course, he wants to talk about Lindsay Lohan and all the craziness.
Oh, my gosh. She's nuts.
I feel so safe and protected right now in this studio. Like,
yes.
anything could happen. And
no,
we're okay
no, no.
here.
They're jumping out of a plane's mouth in there. There's Lindsay. No, I mean, it's like,
it's perfect.
They're different levels. Different
but
levels.
You're going to be on The Doctors. You know the air date check? Because that's the reason you're sort
It'll
of
coming
here.
Up through the fall. So
okay,
I'm doing some
perfect.
Fitness stuff
okay.
with them. I kind of do some fitness consulting for them and whatnot.
Wonderful.
And, they're fun shows. I brought my little brother to one. It's a good
Wonderful.
Time.
I was there actually recently, too, because a former reporter of mine did this social media diet
uh-huh.
special on it. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, without
that's
further ado,
show.
SNL. Woo! SNL returned for its premiere. And it did not disappoint. It parodied, it brought out Matt Damon to parody Brett Kavanaugh, the hearings that obviously took over the entire, I mean, I felt like I was scrounging for Hollywood topics because everything was Kavanaugh this
mm-hmm.
week. I was glued to the TV. Anyway, I want to roll a clip really fast and then we'll come back of Matt Damon parodying this.
After all of this, do you really think you have the right demeanor and temperament to be a Supreme Court justice?
I went to Yale.
He killed it. He absolutely killed it.
Worked my butt off to get here. I busted my buns. I lifted weights. Every day. With Tobin, BJ, and Squee, and Donkey Dong Doug. And yeah, we had a couple thousand beers along the way. especially my good friend Mark Judge, who can't remember huge chunks of his life, but is somehow my key witness. So am I angry? You're damn right. But if you think I'm angry now, you just wait till I get on that Supreme Court, because then you're all going to pay.
Okay, let's come back in from that. So that's a little taste of what we had. Okay, so I just want to start. So what I think, Bianca and Jedediah, SNL has an easy job right now, because to me, when I was watching that, what most struck me, and I want to hear how you guys feel, it's just, it was a heightened version of reality.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
I mean, it was like down to like the prosecutor and the way they played it out. I mean, you couldn't have been watching the two next to each other on a side-by-side screen
totally
and saying
agree.
Like, what is going on?
Yes.
And I love that. And I love that, you know, for decades, SNL, like, you got to give it to Lorne Michaels, because
yes.
this show really is, you know, capturing the zeitgeist of what's
sure.
happening. And that is incredible.
Yeah.
And as someone who once had a show that went up against SNL, you know.
Oh, wow.
And, we,
that's
yeah,
not a fun
talk.
That's not a fun task.
I was like, I'll take that. But, you know, we beat them a few times when they were in repeats. But what this show does, it is a reflection of society. And, you know, I was watching it and I thought Damon just like nailed it and we were laughing so hard. But I mean, you know, it made me think about the hearing and like, what was Kavanaugh thinking? Like, he should have probably been plugging like Anheuser-Busch or something, because when he's going to need work in a few weeks,
sure.
he's going to have to fall back on like, what, influencer marketing or something.
Speaking of that, we were
lost opportunity.
We were trying to guess what kind of beer we thought he drank. That's at that
I
point.
Think
where
it sounds like all. I mean, it sounds like all.
Yeah,
and
all.
I agree completely. SNL. I mean, if you want to save yourself some time,
yeah.
they just summed up the whole story for you.
Yes.
Literally just watch their clip, which is way more entertaining,
well, yes.
and you'll get a whole picture of the story. I was dying laughing. Absolutely dying laughing.
So Trump obviously spoke out and said, Anita,
mm-hmm.
that SNL is just one big commercial for the Democratic Party. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's certainly a left-leaning show, but it really does capture the essence of what's happening on the political scene and culturally in America.
Yeah.
And this show, I think it's a little tired.
Yeah.
But last night's season premiere, 44th season, if you can believe that,
huh.
it felt like there was new energy there. So mm-hmm. I was really excited when I watched it.
Yeah, me too. Do you think, though, that because SNL being a parody skit show, comedy, like, they have all the leeway in the world, or, and this is goes to you too,
mm-hmm.
do you think that even comedy should toe a line? Where they almost
no.
are too left-leaning.
No, yeah.
No.
I mean, that's freedom of speech. That's First Amendment right there.
Yeah.
Like, if they're crossing the line, their viewers will let them know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
yeah.
lose viewers if they're crossing, you know?
Yeah,
so,
no, they've
I mean,
only gone out.
Yeah.
I mean, the show definitely gets bashed for being too left-leaning, but then if you look at the ratings from last night, they improved on the year before the season premiere, so people are watching.
Well, I mean, the cast is phenomenal. You know, we just saw the Emmys
yeah.
recently, which I, you know, got to you know, kind of, you know, enjoy. And, you know, as many of us in Hollywood cover and just sort of, like, sit back and look at the cast and how great it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have to be provocative. If that show doesn't push the envelope, if
right.
it doesn't skew almost, like, borderline,
mm-hmm.
you know, controversial, you're not going to watch. It's Saturday
right.
night, 11.
That's why
I mean,
people
we can
go
barely
there. Go there.
Yeah.
What I love about it, though, as a content creator myself, as a producer, we need moments in television that are magical and
mm-hmm.
unpredictable, which I think you do really well here.
Oh,
and
thank
the
you.
Bottom line is it's like TV has become very predictable. Reboots, which I know we're going to talk about
yes.
today. So I give it up to them for actually saying, you know what, let's just really be racy. And
yeah.
it shows that it is the magic of television still mm-hmm. is alive and well. It's provocative. It's profitable and it's thought provoking.
But
we're
speaking
all talking
of unpredictable, but I don't know if they wanted the kind of unpredictable that Kanye brought to the stage.
No, no one does.
So let's talk about that, because basically Kanye came back, and I have so many questions about this, because I want to know if Lorne Michaels is just being smart because he knows it's guaranteed press, or if like this was supposed to be a redemption. Because when you're reading the article about how following the two songs that they normally form, and he did this surprise third song,
mm-hmm.
they were supposedly he came out with the Magna, you know,
Magna.
Make America
mm-hmm.
Great Again, and he's, you know, making this speech rambling about, you know, Trump this, Trump that, supporting Trump, and then I think even about his own, it was like a bizarre lecture, even about him potentially running, correct?
There was some of everything. So, first of all, Ariana Grande was originally booked, and she's going through some personal things. So,
yes.
She bowed out. Kanye stepped in graciously, according to Lauren Michaels. The thing is, with Kanye cannot be controlled. We've seen that time and time again. No. And so,
Pairs him well with Trump.
I mean, the thing is, I tuned in only because of Kanye.
Yeah.
I knew it would be unusual. I knew Kanye would be provocative, and I got I got more than I was expecting.
Sure.
But a lot of people tuned in. The ratings were great. So a lot of people tuned in to see what Kanye would do. And, you know, Adam Driver hosted, so I'm sure a lot of people tuned in for him, too.
Let's just run a little bit of this clip that we have queued of him when he came out, and then we'll come back on the other side and talk about it.
Black man in America, supposed to keep what you feel inside right now. And the liberals, blacks weren't always the oppressed. You know, it's like a plan they did to take the fathers out of the home and promote welfare. Does anybody know about that? That's a Democratic plan. There's so many times I talk to a white person about this and say, how could you like Trump? He's racist. Well, if I was concerned about racism, I would have moved out of America a long time ago. We don't just make our decisions. And that is bothering me. And when I said I'm running 2020, all my smart friends. Now you got a situation where we need to have a dialogue and not a diatribe. Because if you want something to change, it's not going to.
Okay, so, oh my God. So here's what I wanted to see. Remember what was the award show when he was like, George Bush does not care about black people? It's like Kanye West does not care about black people either. Because it's like this stuff, or people, period. It's like, he's saying, I mean, it's just diametrically opposed. He's saying not a diatribe, says the guy who went into TMZ's newsroom and was like preaching about like how slavery was a choice and all this other stuff. The thing that I can't fathom is like, why he continues to do, like, do you think he just wants the press and the attention, or does he believe what he's saying?
I think it's a little of both. I think we knew something like this was going to happen. You don't book Kanye and think it's going to be like PBS, right? So you know he's going to do something.
But it worked. I mean, they got viewers.
And I think, you know, Kanye's trying to make Kanye great again. Listen, he's got 1.5 million
right.
in the bank. He's got Yeezy. I mean, it's all calculated, I think. I think he really does believe what he's saying.
Yeah.
But I think he knows that people will come against him, and I don't think he cares. He's like, you know what? I'm here to be this very divisive voice, and he's going to do it full throttle. And, you know, when's he going to lose his edge? I'm just wondering, like, when's he going to kind of be like, oh, you remember when Kanye was sort of edgy and like, now he's not so, you know,
well, now
like, we're going to give him like, what, 2 years? Yeah, maybe?
It'll
like,
get tired. Well, keep on saying dumb things simmer? And finally people will just be like,
Kanye has admitted he has mental health issues and he doesn't always take his medication. I'm not going to speculate on what happened last night, but he almost appeared unhinged. It was a little, you know, the final performance. Well, the first performance was a little strange, and it just got weirder as the night wore on. The final performance through the credits, I didn't even know what to think. And then when he started talking after the show ended and people put the clips on YouTube, it was troubling. And so this rant, I mean, he even talked about the critics who say he's in the sunken place. I've never seen anything like it, and I wish someone would step in.
But the thing you just said, yes. So, speaking of the mental illness part, but this is where I think, like, I have family members or close friends that also suffer with, I feel like he makes a mockery of mental illness, actually, because he goes through these phases where it's like, he's almost using like, I'm going to be crazy and say things, and then it's going to be like blamed on my, it's just sort of so inconsistent. I'm like, is it marketing and being strategic, or are you actually mentally ill when you're saying half these things? Candace Owens, the conservative commentator, mm-hmm. was retweeting all of his quotes and then like putting her own comments saying it was like he had said something in it about we need to have a dialogue because 90% of media and TV is liberal. And it's like, oh, the media and TV that you and your wife used to basically build your entire career, now it's all of a sudden, oh, they're so bad, they're so liberal. It's just, he speaks out of both sides of his mouth.
He does, but does anybody in the world really take Kanye seriously?
That's what I want to know, though. But
I don't know anyone who takes what he says seriously.
But he's been on the record also saying that musicians, he is not... He can never be controlled. He'll never be controlled. He doesn't have people around him. You know,
well, he's dropped all his, like, right, isn't he managing
so he's
himself?
Low
he dropped wolf. His, he doesn't have a publicist anymore.
Exactly, Joseph. So he is obviously making deliberate actions to do his own thing. And he also was on record saying, you know, that he thinks musicians are brands. And that, you know, so I think he does see himself as sort of this, not just a music person, but like... something bigger than that. So I think a lot of this, I think it's calculated. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I really do. And that's why I went over today where he's still talking about it because he knows it's still feeding the media.
Well, I don't know if it's calculated. I mean, he thrives on the attention. But my question is, how much longer are his fans going to put up with it? How much longer will they continue to support him and buy his music
that's
and his fashions
thing.
And his, doesn't he have sneakers?
Yeah, Yeezys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
I have a pair of
sneakers. I mean, who's buying the stuff, and how much longer will they continue to do it?
That's the question, because Kanye won't... I always say this, too, about the Kardashians. The Kardashians are never going to go away, and they're going to keep multiplying until the media, collectively, is like, why are we covering such... like, I made a point when I ran news sites that we cover the Kardashians in the context of actual news about them. Which, guess what?
You're a journalist.
I never covered the Kardashians.
Right, it went minimal.
There wasn't news. It was like, did they, if they got arrested, if they, you know, something, which they never did, but I'm saying, like, actual news, not like Kylie got a new lip kit or like Kim injected her behind. It's like not news in the grand scheme of the world. So the way that Kanye, you're absolutely right. It's like media keeps covering because it gets hits and people love to, sadly, people like to watch a train wreck. You know, you can't look away.
You're not gonna look away.
But it's like, it comes down to the consumers of like, stop supporting him, stop supporting his music. But by the way, I don't think the whoop diddy poop, like actually that song took off, did it?
Even with that catchy name? Even with that catchy
and he also said that Lord Michael's invited him back again. So he's inciting.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. He's smart enough to say, oh, he knows what happened. He knows his reaction that Trump's reacting to. And he's like, Lauren even asked me back for a second time. He is the puppet master here going like, how many hits can we get? Who's going to talk about it?
I think you're
it?
Giving Kanye way too much credit.
Maybe. I don't know. But I think that he's a smart guy. Politics aside.
Yeah, I would totally have to disagree with that. Smart guy. Did you watch him on TMZ Live? Like,
Politics aside, I think he's manipulating for monetary gain. That's what I'm saying. He's someone who's got a lot of money in the bank, like the Kardashians. I'm not saying you agree with his politics. I'm saying we're talking about him right now. So in a way, we have to actually go back and say, like, maybe we don't acknowledge the disgusting things we don't believe in, and because we can't give it credence anymore.
Well, because this is what also, he continued this craziness off SNL on Twitter this morning about the 13th Amendment being what did he say, he wants it abolished?
And that's like, really? You know, have you read it? Do you know what that is?
It's almost like if he's not strategic and he's out crazying himself with every tweet and every move. I mean,
it's disappointing because I think Kanye is one of the most talented musicians out there.
Yes.
Well, not musician, but entertainers, performers. And he writes interesting lyrics, he writes good music, but it's all, we're distracted by the other things that he says and does, and the artistry gets lost in the shuffle. So I think it's unfortunate. I just want Kanye to get back on track. I want to see the College Dropout Kanye.
I don't think he cares, though. Do you think he cares anymore?
Because
you're right.
He probably doesn't care,
career.
But I'm never going to buy anything he puts out.
Me neither. Sure. And I want Gold Digger Kanye. And I actually have friends where I'm like, I refuse, do not play or download new stuff because I'm not supporting this brand of crazy right now. It's just, it's, but by the way, but I do pray for him. If this is mental illness and that's strictly, and he's like off his meds or whatever the heck's going on, I do pray for him in that respect. But if this is all calculated and just using sort of like playing to the Trump base because what he's going to run as a Republican after he's going to be the Trump heir apparent, I mean, that's kind of great. One crazy for another crazy, but it's just sort of like, I just think he's it's just, it's gotten way over. I would not, if I was Lorne Michaels, you shouldn't be having him back. Like,
yeah, and
stop.
I don't even know if that's real, but yeah. Throwing it out there, knowing it could incite everyone's like, well, we can't even imagine what we just took last night. How is he even saying it's going to happen again?
Well, anyway, we're thankful that SNL's back because I'll have stuff to talk about now every Sunday.
You're set.
Moving on to our next topic, Anita, Night School, starring Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. Which I couldn't escape a billboard. They topped the box office. Tell viewers a little bit about.
Okay, so Night School topped the box office. It made an estimated $28 million this weekend, which is right at expectations. Kevin Hart is bulletproof. This movie had abysmal reviews. I think it has about a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
Critics pretty much ripped it to shreds, said it was in detention and needed to go back to school. But Kevin's loyal fans turned out once again. And Tiffany Haddish, this movie has two of the hottest comedians on the scene right now.
Yes.
And they delivered. It was produced by Will Packer, directed by Malcolm D. Lee. Will and Malcolm were the same team behind Girls Trip. Now, this movie did not open as big as Girls Trip, which had excellent reviews.
I love that movie.
So I think the reviews may have, maybe for, you know, people like me, the casual fan, you know, I read the reviews and I was like, okay. Would not waste $15 in LA.
Yeah.
But
it still had, like, it had an 89% fan approval, though. So you're not going to this movie looking for Braveheart or Legend of the Fall. You know, you want to go get entertained. It's kind of like the Madea series. You know, it's kind of a niche market where they generally get very bad reviews, but the fans give them very good reviews. So,
did you see it? Did
even
you
though
see Night School?
I haven't seen Night School.
Okay.
But like, so say it's got 89%. I mean,
that, like, sometimes people are like, well, the critics could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, and sometimes that's that, you know, the people are like, you know, maybe I'll give it a chance. And like, you know, they love Kevin and they're like, I'm still going to support him. And like, maybe the critics were too harsh and, you know, they want to know better than like the people who are writing.
Here's my theory. I felt like they put a bunch of, I could not escape, at least in LA, like a billboard or anything that around it. Do you almost think it's like when, because Tiffany Haddish right now is having her moment. She's like it girl, right? I feel like, and I don't know, but like, is it like that they don't want them to have a failure at this moment in their career? Because it's like that the studio was like, put them a lot of money, get them. Because as long as you get people in on the first weekend of a really terrible movie, then you at least didn't have a complete failure. Like, the reviews come out, but it's sort of like, it at least didn't, it was number one at the box office.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't watch like a lot of network TV. I watch Netflix and stuff, so I don't see the ads. I didn't even notice the billboards. I honestly think these people have very loyal followings. I mean, Kevin tends to play the same character over and over and over. He's like The Rock. You know exactly what you're going to get.
But it's good stuff.
Yeah,
you know? It's
but
like,
for the fans,
you're watching good stuff.
They love it.
Yeah.
And also, they went very heavy on the marketing. You know, Kevin has a massive social media following. Mm-hmm. So he was all over social media talking about it. They were on urban radio. And then they also did the mainstream stuff. Tiffany co-hosted Live with Kelly and Ryan. So they were everywhere. People love them. And
it's
fans
fun to,
out.
No matter what, it's still fun to sit at the movies, have some popcorn, and veg out and not be like, you'd probably almost rather see a bad movie nowadays than think about like all the bad stuff happening in our world.
Yeah.
So it's still escapism.
Oh,
it's still,
a horror
movie
is better. I'd rather watch it. Like American Horror Story was a reprieve from reality.
Exactly. So it's like, even if it's a bad movie, at least I'm like escaping and it's sort of taking me out of what reality
very
is now.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But let's not also discount the power of these stars, because this is a top grossing comedy since Girls Trip. That was like 14 months ago, last summer. So this is a winning combination. Will Packer producing, Malcolm D. Lee directing, and Tiffany Haddish riding along with them. Like, it works.
Yeah.
They're very likable characters. You know, if you bring a date to this movie, you're going to have a good time.
You're going to have a good time.
You know, again, you're not going to be odd, but like,
yeah.
You can bring a date to the movie now. So now you're like, well, he's like, hey, girls, maybe, you know? Like, next
in LA in a couple days, right?
There you go.
Okay, so congrats to them.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish, she killed it on the carpet at the Emmys, too.
Mm-hmm. You know something else that helped this movie? Tiffany's beef with Cat Williams. Cat Williams criticizing her comedic skills.
Yeah.
And then Kevin just going hard, attacking Cat Williams on a New York radio station. That, I mean, that made so many headlines. Free press.
What is Cat Williams even doing nowadays?
It cracked. Can we say this on the show?
No,
I was just
going to
say medical assessment looking at the man.
He just won an Miami, he had a role, like a guest starring role on Atlanta. Donald Glover threw him a bone. Thank you, Donald. So. And Tiffany also won for guest hosting SNL last year. So, or last season. Two Emmy winners. He criticized her. She took the high road. But Kevin really unloaded on him. Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on to Me Too Hollywood updates. So, just circling back how SNL took on the Kavanaugh hearings, which obviously, I don't know about you, but I was riveted. I actually, the last time I sat in front of a cable news for, like, 8 hours straight was probably 9/11, I'd say. Like, but I watched every minute of the hearings, and it was just heart-wrenching, both, like, screaming at the TV at some moment of time. But the interesting part, so tying it to Hollywood, Alyssa Milano, okay, did you notice Alyssa Milano sitting in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got, like, I'm watching it, amazing. And, like, someone's, like, texting me, like, friends, and they're like, Alyssa Milano, ? Like, a screenshot? Right. And I literally had to look at it, so I immediately went to her Twitter. She was like, oh, there it is.
Right there.
She literally... She's very, by the way, we should say she's very political on Twitter. She's an activist in addition to an actress. I absolutely love her because she really, she's what people we need, you know, in Hollywood, using her platform for causes rather than just like, you know, free clothes from stylists or something. Sure. But she was there and she was live tweeting from like behind where he was sitting. And so I just thought it was interesting that, like, what's your feeling on that? Like, do you think that takes it to a whole nother level, or do you...
I love it. I mean, it's all, I love it. And she had an interaction, too, with, you know she was spoken to. Was her phone taken? And then she says, no, it wasn't. So it just it added to, like, all of the drama that was unfolding in that world that day. And it was interesting. I was in New York and going from place to place, so I was catching it somewhere. But everywhere you go, people are like, did you see this? And did you see this? And it was. It was like, you know, this must-see TV moment. And I think it's cool that she, you know... was tweeting and being there, and I think it's a novelty, but I think it adds to sort of the interesting thing that celebrities can have a voice and, like you said, use their platform and actually be like, I'm educated, I'm involved, and I want to say something and have a point in all of this. And it was a moment in history where, like you said, I mean, people were watching, and we know Alyssa Milano was too, so there you go. I mean, and there she is right there. People will go and talk to her.
Because she's actually well-versed. Like, here's the thing.
Yeah, she speaks very well. She's an intelligent girl. You can...
Exactly. And, you know, I want to ask this because more often than not, I notice that the liberal people on Twitter and social media, they like celebrities using their platforms. And then, obviously, on the other side, they say Hollywood celebrities should shut up. I don't have a problem. I feel like people seem to forget that celebrities are people. Like, we are people.
Absolutely.
Like, we get to say whatever we want in the country because they're an actor or an actress. What's your feeling on that whole debate about, like, Hollywood should stay out of it versus they should use their platforms?
I mean, we don't say Joe regular should stay out of it. These celebrities are involved in the conversation, and sometimes they can help sway the conversation. They have these massive followings on social media. But Alyssa is very, very active in the Me Too movement, and she's really helped raise awareness about this. So naturally, she would be there.
Yeah, it's a cause she's passionate about. She's showing her support for it. I mean, it makes sense.
I think my only caveat is that as long as I feel like it's a celebrity that is versed on the topics, and you can tell by their tweets and by their appearances, then they have the right. I think any person, in my humble opinion, if you're not versed on the topics, don't get into a thread on Facebook and just start arguing without facts. Like, that's my biggest complaint. Right. So I think people should, like, shut up about, like, they have a platform and they get to use it.
Exactly, and I think the thing is, if celebrities do have a following and they have something that can inspire or encourage other people, it's almost part of their obligation that they've been given. Like, they're very lucky. They get to entertain millions of people, and by as a default, they have people who listen to them and take what they say very seriously. So why not? If they have something to add to what's happening, I think they should, you know, obviously come out and speak about things. I think and some of them have a political responsibility to do so.
Yeah, it's a social responsibility. And like you're saying, with that, you know, that can go good or bad, because if they're not well-versed, then they're just putting out crap to thousands of people.
Noise.
So moving on to, like, another Me Too I feel like it's Me Too Hollywood is going to have to be a standing segment. There's stuff every week. But Kevin Spacey, who, to just bring up viewers and listeners to speed, was accused of sexual misconduct and assault and abuse for years on end. It was something like a Harvey Weinstein, but just with men. Mm. And then he used the moment of when he was called out for sexual assault to come out of the closet, because that really helped the gay community. Right. Like, no, please don't do this now. Sure. That's not helpful. Right. So now no one wants to claim him. But anyway, this week, a really graphic article came out because his massage therapist is suing him for sexual battery. Mm-hmm. And it was very graphic. I was reading on Deadline. But what is sort of your, you know, I asked this because you're actually a fitness guy. And sure. A lot of that goes hand in hand with mm-hmm. sort of massage therapy, the whole nine yards. What was your feeling when you read that article just about...
Well, I mean, Kevin Spacey's creepy, and that's just, that was my feeling. Like, if you want high and low, you know, male, female, whoever,
yeah,
you know, sex in humanity is amazing. It's great, but it always is consensual. It needs to be consensual, you know what I mean? Yeah. If someone's coming on to you trying to use money, power, etc., and you're not having it, regardless of your situation,
yeah,
you know, it's wrong, and it's creepy, and, you know, reading the article, I tend to believe the massage therapist. I mean, it,
yeah,
you know, again, you know, you never really know, but I've... You know, it seemed legit.
It's so awful, too, because it's like, here he is. He's in the room. And again, we go back to these cases where it's like, there's a powerful celebrity in the room. He's just trying to do his job. And, like, you know, maybe he thinks this is legitimate. And, like, he's, like, now put in a situation. And I think, you know, people are put in situations. And you're like, oh, I can't believe. There's nothing he could have done to avoid this. Like, the masseuse just comes and he does his job. Sure. And he's like, you know, it's just unfortunate that in this day and age, it's like, yet again, we're seeing it. And it's just so pervasive. And you just wonder as we look at humanity, we look at, you know, our culture.
Yeah.
How do we move forward from this, and how do we heal each other, and how do we kind of, you know, make people feel supported to come forward, make people feel that they're being heard?
Well, and from I think a male that's, standpoint,
yes.
To, you know, like, yeah, as a straight male, there's a little bit of a, I don't know how to put it well, but like a machismo embarrassment, yes, of something like that, where,
totally,
for
you know,
sure,
another guy, you know, because you, yes, kind of got owned in that situation.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's much more common, you know, for a male to just stay incredibly quiet about it because it's
embarrassing.
Yeah, like,
they're,
it's a huge shot of the ego and whatnot, and it's...
Well, that's,
you know,
why Terry Crews sort started to change the game,
yeah,
on that. I actually am surprised throughout the Me Too movement that there hasn't been more stories, because I know it happens,
sure,
as a gay man, that you hear stories that there hasn't been more Terry Crews cases that have come forward. But it's like,
yeah,
you're saying,
and I agree,
guys,
and his
feel
response
more embarrassed,
was great.
Yeah.
And then,
you know,
it's, there's a certain, I think, a level of, like you said with the machismo, mm-hmm, a straight guy... maybe not thinking that it's going to seem they're not masculine if, like, they were hit on by another man. Like, so there's an embarrassment about with any sexual...
Like, they're victimized again,
and
not by,
yeah,
coming out, which,
yeah,
is, like, the worst thing,
yeah,
when you're already,
right,
a victim. So.
And just the hit on, you know, like, I'm a straight male, you know, every now,
yeah,
and then, you know, a gay male will hit on me or whatever. And for,
yeah,
the most part, you know, it's flattering, like, hey, bro, sorry, I'm straight. And they're,
yeah,
just like, oh, cool. You know, and that's, you know, that's
like,
fine.
They,
but, like,
who cares?
Yeah,
like,
you know, I mean, that's, like,
you obviously
DMs.
Work out. Yeah.
Yeah. And
they slide into the DMs all,
but it's kind of funny. Once I was on magazine covers, I started to feel a little bit for my female friends, because males are more persistent than females, generally speaking. You know,
it,
so it's just kind of,
it
was kind of interesting on that.
Right.
But
the thing I'm going to say, and we'll move on from Spacey to Cosby, but what this struck me is, this was 2016, so the whole thing with the cases about him,
mm-hmm,
they, a lot of them that were reported were going way back, and this just goes to show you that these serial abusers, this was happening right through it. That's why when,
sure,
we're talking, this is what I'm going to say, and this is, again, in my opinion,
mm-hmm,
when we're saying this happened 25 that, or this happened 10 years, or this happened that we know of,
yeah, mm-hmm,
you don't know that there. To me, it's like, if you're a serial sexual abuser, we just, maybe the people who are more recently were abused or assaulted just haven't come to their moment of wanting to. I truly believe that. Like, I feel like when we're reading about these men, but it's like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, we just haven't heard about the most recent cases. That's what I'm going to end on for that with Kevin. Cosby, jailed.
Good.
That was the best
thing.
Yeah. Speaking of that, where we're going through this whole polarized, like, society right now with the Kavanaugh versus Dr. Ford, to see Bill Cosby hauled away in handcuffs must have been so cathartic for his victims.
Yeah. Long time
coming, too. It probably
too.
Was. Yeah. I mean, I have a different perspective. I am African American. I know African Americans in the industry. Cosby has created countless opportunities for African Americans. A Different World, The Cosby Show, but there was no disputing. I mean, when the first allegations surfaced, and this has been happening for decades, but the women were paid off. And then when Hannibal Buress, the comedian, brought it up, it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Cosby denied. And, you know, maybe the first accuser, it was like, mm-hmm. second one, But by the time we got up to 10, yeah. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, not everyone could be lying. And it really was heartbreaking to see, to find out that Cosby, you know, who we looked at as his father figure, was actually a serial predator. Yeah. And looking at his mugshots, it was just a spectacular fall from grace.
Yeah.
And he deserves to be in jail. I'm not disputing that, but what I'm saying is it's very sad, everything he's done for my community, and to find out that he was so screwed up. And now to see him in prison.
I mean, the TV dad that everyone grew, you know, Huxtable, that you grew to love, you know, the sweaters. Yeah, but it's like, well, now he's, I wonder what prison is going to be like for Bill Cosby. I wonder, I want to know, well, he's going to go under sex offender treatment and all this. Yeah. And I want to know. I really am, it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see, you know, if he gets special treatment or if they're keeping him away, if he's going to be even more targeted. I'm going to be interested to see.
I don't know about prison, but generally, like, here in L.A. County, Twin Towers Jail, County, they keep celebrities away from the general pop.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's bragging
target, rights.
They're a target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know, but I did read about, like, what Cosby ate his first night in jail, and when he walked in.
Was it pudding pops? The pudding?
But it's like, I mean, this man.
Oh my God.
I can't even imagine, like, his reaction. He's so old. He has so many health problems. He's legally blind. And, you know, he's probably sleeping on 500-600 thread count sheets a night, and then they hand him a little sheet, blanket, his little jumpsuit. It's just sad. Oof.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing. What I'm laughing about, though, is that the meme that's up there on the TV. I don't know if
there
we're showing that to viewers.
Oh, yeah. It was raspberry jello. Okay, now we're going to be accurate. We have to be accurate.
I was laughing at this.
The internet community is pretty funny.
I just wanted to make sure to qualify that because people are watching us live, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm not laughing at this. I like this perspective you just gave me because that did make me see it a little bit differently because it's almost... it's heartbreaking, like when Felicia Rashad, she had his back for the most part till she couldn't have his back. And she kept saying people are trying to ruin his legacy. And then that New York Magazine cover came out with about 30 women on the cover.
Yeah.
And it was
hard,
like,
when you know somebody and you have a working relationship. I mean, think of the moments they spent together building that show.
Yeah.
And it was even, we saw this with some of the news anchors who have fallen, you know, when we see some of the morning show anchors. And it was hard for their co-anchors to be on the news the next day saying, like, the person who we are, like, because
right,
it becomes a family that, like, I can't believe that this person is capable of this. And it is, you know, it's hard for people to come to you know.
Given that you have a background in, you know, guest hosting on The Doctors and More, like, issue you deal with, you've dealt with victims.
Yeah, I'm an ER doctor, so, you know, I get the victims firsthand when I'm checking them out medically because, unfortunately, a lot of sexual abuse has physical components to it, et cetera. So.
Here's my question, then. Why do you suppose, though, like, the way, okay, so when people are mentally ill or they're battling addiction and there's... we're getting past the stigma where people understand it's a disease.
Sure.
Do you think that sexual predators, that is, you can be healed, you can be rehabilitated from that? It seems like people, I want to hear all of you guys, do you think that you can rehabilitate from
Well, I do think
that?
People can change, but there's kind of levels of addiction. Like, you take a case like Cosby where... the magnitude, the number of times he pulled that off, and kind of the thought process that went behind it. This wasn't like a chance encounter, you know. This was very calculated, you know, bringing him over, putting stuff in the drink, like, you know, and it happened over and over again. You know, I think at a certain point, you're just, regardless of what good you're bringing, you're too much of a threat to society. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of the risk of hurting someone else in the chance that you might be better isn't worth it at a certain point. You know, that's not a one-time offender, and, you know.
Yeah, like, I don't find there to be redemption in, like, a pedophile. Like, I believe that they deserve all the punishment they get in jail.
Yeah, because they're really messing up a life.
She's 12 years old. I have a daughter who's 12 years old, and I'm really, you know, when I was moving to a new place, and I'd be like, who's the sex offender in the neighborhood, and where are they working? Because they're all around you. So, you know, do your due diligence, try to figure stuff out. And we've seen, and you can probably speak to more of this on a medical, you know, professional, but, like, people who have been victims of incest go and repeat it themselves. So
it's
sad, and it's
terrible.
You know, we want to be compassionate, but at the same time, I'm telling you, if it's your kid, you're like, you are Mama Bear, right. And you're like, I'm sorry, like, I wouldn't even take the chance. Like, I don't, you know, I want to know if you're bagging my groceries and if you're a sex offender, I just want to know because maybe I'm not shopping in that store anymore. Because, I mean, I worked as a journalist for 20 years. My job was telling people about the pedophile in their library. Right. And it just takes a moment and you just never know. So I think if you're a parent, everything changes in your mind where you're like, maybe that person is, but I just don't want my kid around them.
And a good way to look at it, addiction-wise, so you take an alcoholic, for example. All of us know alcoholics that have healed and they're no longer alcoholics. That said, you would never have an alcoholic work in a liquor store.
No.
You know what I mean? You want a safe distance. Even if a sex offender's out there and they're kind of functioning and they're controlling their addiction, they still have an addiction. You know, you're not going to have them the playground monitor. It's like...
So, the good thing about him, they stripped him of his lifetime retreat, like Hollywood stripped him of his lifetime achievement, too. I think it's beyond... If people are like, is there a Hollywood redemption? I think it's just beyond. It's just done. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say? Would you say that?
There is absolutely no coming back from this. And will he even get out of prison or will he pass away in prison? I mean, he's been sentenced to 3 to 10 years. He's 81. He's in poor health. And let's face it, I don't think he's going to... I know he's not going to get the same quality of health care in prison that he would get in the private sector, you know, with all of his resources. There's no coming back. He deserves to be incarcerated, I think, for longer than 10 years. This has been going on for decades, maybe 50 years. It was covered up for so long, and I'm glad that we finally found out what happened. Again, it's just unfortunate. He funded this writing fellowship at USC, and I know people who went through that program who really wanted to be screenwriters, and it was only because of the money that Kazi put up that they were able to go through this program and not have to worry about how am I going to pay my bills while I'm in this. So it's difficult for me to reconcile the good that he did with him being this monster.
Yeah.
Hollywood loves to come back. I say no way for Cosby. No way.
Unless it's just like telling his story. Someone might give him one shot to like, you know, because people watch that. But
there's no coming back. And did you see OJ chimed in on this mess?
Thank you, OJ.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
So quickly to something else. My love-hate relationship continues with Cardi B.
I love Cardi. I really do. I work out to her sometimes. Like, my friends give me shit, but like,
They just released this hot track, Talky Talky, with Selena Gomez and Ozuna by DJ Snake this week, and I've had it on repeat. And then I go and find out this article. So Maroon 5, she did that track where she's featured on, and they're the Super Bowl act. So it's like the big question now is like, is Cardi B gonna perform with them because she wants a solo set? Right. So they're negotiating.
Right.
Is there a press? Have you ever remembered like where if someone was featured on the track of like if Justin Timberlake say was the headliner and then he was going to have the person featured that they're going, but I want my solo set during your. She's asking for a solo. I mean, what is your opinion? Anyone's opinion?
I don't
on this?
Recall. I mean, I remember like I think Usher performed with the Black Eyed Peas and at the time he was just as big as they are.
Yes,
but he was kind of like a backup act.
Timberlake, Janet Jackson. Yeah. I mean, this is what you tune into the Super Bowl. There's cool mashups and this is sort of iconic moments. Yeah. You, like, wouldn't see otherwise.
Yeah. But that's Cardi's thing, is she's just, like, she's a boss. She's a stripper that rose up, and she owns it, and she's just like, look, I want my money, I want my segment. And like, I'd say give it to her. She's entertaining. People love her.
I mean, after what happened at Bizarre Icon Party with Nikki, maybe we should just give her her own stage. Maybe it's just, like, for you know, the best thing for everyone.
Do we think her ego's too big now?
I kind of feel like Cardi she's playing for headlines. Like, you've been in the game 5 minutes.
Yes.
Like, she has had, I think, 3 number one hits, but you don't have the body of work to be able to demand that you get
your own solo set.
Yeah.
So let's end it on that. Maroon 5, Adam Levine, who has sold bazillions of records. You do not need Cardi B.
Level.
Just play the track of her part of the song in the back and bring some dancers out. I was so offended. So now, thank God for Talky Talky winning me over this weekend. But okay, so really quickly, to take us out, Overheard Hollywood is a segment where I give my panelists some time to very quickly to plug something or tell somebody anything they want to know about what you're doing or something we should know for the next week ahead of us. So go ahead, take the floor, Bianca.
Okay. Well, first, I had a great time like hanging with you guys today.
Thank you.
And one of the things that you know I'm really passionate about is my Mexican heritage. And so thank you for having me on and giving us some visibility here. And I'm really excited. My new line, Bianca De La Garza Beauty In Glow We Trust, is our first product, and it's an illuminating serum. And what it is, it's basically skincare and makeup fused. But I wore such heavy makeup on TV, and you know, there's this pressure of like, you have to look perfect. Yeah. You have to be Barbie HD. Or this. And, you know, yeah, exactly. HD. You're like, oh, my gosh. Right.
Some sweating bullets looking greasy.
So, I mean, I literally would have my bosses called it. They'd call me in sometimes and be like, you look a little tired. I'm like, I do your morning show. Like, I don't sleep. Yeah. So, for me, it's very freeing to now have a makeup line where I'm telling women, like, trust your own inner glow. Trust your inner beauty. And we're all about shifting consciousness into global inclusivity. All, you know, we have beauty really be the wide beauty that exists in our world today. And we just got news this week that the Today Show, Kathy Lee and Hoda, has selected us for one of their favorite things. So it's kind of like Oprah's book club. Right. I'm a little excited. So thank you.
So you're
going to
go on and drink wine with them?
Yeah, I mean, it twists my arm, maybe. Did okay. you have wine here
and
today?
And your handle on Insta, at Bianca Della Garza, correct?
At Bianca Della Garza Official and at Bianca Della Garza Beauty.
Great. Jedediah, you're up.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm actually going to plug Children International. I was down to the Dominican recently with them, visiting my kids, O'Kelly.
Yeah.
And, amazing charity. It's kind of, I've worked with the Boys and Girls Club before,
mm-hmm.
and they're kind of doing that in a sense, but on an international scale where the U.S. dollar just goes so much further.
Yes.
And getting down there and work, I taught a little health and fitness segment in their community center. It's super fun.
Okay.
And just seeing the amount of good they're doing in those communities is unreal. I've got some kids in Colombia as well, Karine, and I'm planning on getting down there within the next year or so.
Yes.
So it's just, I'm looking forward to seeing more of these community centers.
Yes.
And would strongly recommend, you know, a bunch of people spend a lot of money on pets, whatever.
Yes.
You know, these kids are like $35 a month and you're changing a life.
Say the name again.
Children International.
ChildrenInternational.com.
Yeah, Children International. Okay. Just Google it in. It's a pretty big charity. Okay. You know, they're global in a bunch of countries and they're doing seriously amazing work. I checked it out firsthand.
We love that. It's impacting. Thank you.
It is.
So if you get a chance, head over to UrbanHollywood411.com. I have a full recap of this weekend's box office. I kind of dissected and how Night School did so well, what led to it doing so well. And also, for those of you who haven't seen Kanye's whatever
greatness.
I break that down too. So it's all on UrbanHollywood411.com.
One of my bookmarks. Thank you. And thank you for stepping in today. It's always a treat.
No worries.
And everyone can find us on Apple Podcasts, Meet the Hollywood Press under the AfterBuzz umbrella. You can also find us on Twitter, Meet the HWD Press, and on Instagram and Facebook at Meet the Hollywood Press. And also rate us, review us, view us, listen, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thank you all for being here. It's been a great time, okay? We'll see you next time. Thanks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.